On the show today, we have Howard & Howard's Michael Bell talking about the growing trend of credit unions acquiring banks. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Michael Bell from Howard & Howard. How are you, sir?
Really good, Mike. Good to talk with you again.
Good to talk to you, too. I'm liking the lumberjack look. That's a good look for you.
Thank you. It's a Michigan thing this time of year. I got to stay warm.
I know. You were just telling me before the recording that you guys have a few inches of snow on the ground already. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. We do. More coming, right? This is what, 3 or 4 more months of this. That's
what I have. Yay. Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, at least you'll have a white Christmas. That'll be fun. So
that's right. The kids love that.
Kids will dig it. All right. So, hey, we're talking about another interesting, very interesting topic here. Credit unions acquiring banks. This is something that's always kind of piqued my interest. And you have several announcements, several of these kind of in the hopper we were talking about before the recording. One of which I saw a story in Credit Union Journal about Georgia's own credit union set to acquire the State Bank of Georgia. So this is, I mean, although it's a first for this state, you know, we've been seeing more and more of this happening. So what's going on with this trend? What's going on here, Michael?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. You raised that announcement. That was kind of, I think, mid-November. Yeah. Interestingly enough, shortly after that, we announced SRP Federal Credit Union. They're in South Carolina, but also Georgia, buying Southern Bank, which is a Georgia bank. So for some reason in November, we've got two Georgia banks, one selling to a Georgia credit union and one to a federal credit union that's in Georgia and South Carolina.
Right.
And I'll tell you that, you know, it hasn't happened yet, so we can't talk about it, but there's one that I expect to announce this month. And then in the beginning of 2018, there's a few more. The trend line on this is striking sharply upward.
Really? So it's one of these.
Yeah. And I remember we talked, I forget how long it's been, a couple years ago maybe on this or a few, but and I kept saying there'll be more, but I'll tell you that if you follow the news stories on these, I've been saying, and I'm saying that this is the moment. I mean, we're at the top of the bell curve. This will always be relevant, but right now activity levels have never been higher.
Yeah, so why are we hitting the high water mark here? What's going on?
You know, I think there's really two ways to talk about it. Internal to our industry, there are plenty of really strong, solid credit union buyers. You know, they've got capital, they've got sophisticated management, and they want to grow.
Yeah.
And when you're a credit union, there's only so many things you can do with your capital. You know, build a branch, invest in technology, but buy investments. But this is a whole different animal and really leads to some strong results. Mm-hmm. Credit union land has now understood that and agrees with it. And so we have plenty of strong buyers. And on the other side of the equation in bank land, you know, and let me say small bank land, about $500 million or less in assets.
Right.
You know, pricing for them has gone up enough where today you can sell and perhaps get, you know, a decent return. But their regulations have not gotten any easier, just like ours. It's not easy to be a small bank. It's more expensive to be a small bank than a credit union.
Oh, yeah.
They've got succession plan issues. You name it, they have our issues. And I would even multiply it and say they have more. And such that they're now selling. They need to find a way, you know, to exist, or if not exist, to have an equity event and be done.
Mm-hmm.
They can sell to us, sell to credit unions, and, you know, we take care of their people. We keep the branches open. We take care of the community. So mm-hmm. It's a pretty good story that lets them reach a good conclusion.
So my next question is, are these smaller banks looking for buyers, or are credit unions looking to buy, or is it a mix of both?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both.
Okay.
That's what's really causing this activity. So for the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, I've been beating the drum for credit union buyers every chance I get. We're here. Let us have a chance. Let us buy.
Yeah.
That's now worked in my mind, such that the professionals out there that sell small banks know about it, and they're now leveraging it. Because let's be honest, as I've said to them, what's the worst thing that can happen? Either the credit union succeeds or they raise the price.
Yeah.
And so a seller or a selling bank has nothing to lose by including us. And I think that message has resonated. Just to give you a little example, Bank Director is a pretty significant trade association in the bank world that they have a conference every year that's strictly about mergers and acquisitions and bank world. Mm-hmm. And this year, at the end of January, they've asked me to come speak as to why a bank should entertain a credit union buyer.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something I talked to them about, to be honest, for some time, yeah. You know, for a year or two. But they agreed. They said, you know, this is real. This is happening. Yeah. This is relevant. Our people, our constituents need to hear this. And so I'm going to give the message and tell our story in about 45 days.
I would like to be a fly on the wall in that room, just to observe. You know, just wow, that's going to be. I would like to talk to you after that. That would be really interesting conversation, I think.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
right?
See how it goes first.
Yeah. I'll survive, but I'd love to talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Right on. So how does the without getting into too deep of details, how does this process work? I mean, obviously, okay, say a credit union is looking and they see a candidate bank to, you know, that's, I guess, for sale. What steps do they need to take without getting too detailed?
Yeah, so really, I think when a bank sells, it's going to really happen one or two ways. And this is the easy way to talk about it. The bank is either going to be or want to go through a formal process or go one-on-one. And so most banks will retain a professional, an investment banker that's charged with selling them or running the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if I could say 8 out of 10 happen that way, but it's a majority.
Okay.
In that instance, that professional in that bank really set up a process and they go out and qualify or seek buyers. And so these professionals regularly contact me, and then my credit union clients would get involved in that process.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, those professionals, it's almost like selling homes, but it's banks.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it's different in that, you know, they put together a really detailed plan. So you get this memorandum and it explains, you know, here's some information and data. You have until this date to give us a bid, and there's different steps. Additionally, I'll tell you, I have seen a slight increase, just slight, in those professionals now realizing this option is there. And when they have a small bank client, they sometimes will reach out to me and say, look, I've got a seller, we'll go exclusive or one-on-one, here's the price we need. And so if that's something that my clients can meet and it's a good deal for both of us, they'll avoid the hassle of the process.
Right.
Which can be interesting.
Yeah, I could imagine. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, gosh, I'm trying to think of like, I'm just thinking of the whole process. I mean, is it a difficult thing to do, or is it kind of an inviting thing to do for a credit union if they're looking to do that sort of thing?
So for a credit union buyer that's never done this, I explain it this way. I tell them that this process, and by the way, this would work for the formal process or the one-on-one, really is scientific in that once you do it once, there's a huge education curve that you then blow through and you're ready each time. And so, you know, there's certainly costs, there's certainly time, and there is some risks that if you try it, it won't work. But on the upside, I sincerely believe that there's this learning curve that we just beat through, and the next time something comes up, you're that much smarter or better and quicker in the process.
Yeah.
The process, to step back, really involves myself, senior management, and then the board to an extent, but this part of the process is really senior management.
Okay.
And then we'll also team up with evaluation professionals so we can run some financial models and do some numbers. But really, amongst the three of us then, we handle it. And that process usually happens within a couple of weeks, two, three weeks, and we're in a situation to know if we want to move forward and what we want to bid.
Okay, very cool. My next question I was thinking about is pros and cons to this. I mean, do you have a couple of pros and cons each that you could
I do. First, I'll start with the negatives, believe it or not, because this is important, right? I can sometimes I'm so excited and positive about this, it's almost like I'm trying to sell you something. But I think it's important to know there's definitely negatives. And I'll tell you, I've got some clients that, as an example, you know, one of my clients has a very strong organic growth machine. They're growing their loans and loan products, you know, without getting to specifics, but not just very strong, remarkably strong, such that at this moment, they really shouldn't be deploying their capital in a non-organic way and acquiring something. They need to deal with their organic loan machine. And that leads to this negative in that if your growth is so strong, this probably isn't the moment for you to also do this.
Oh.
Both numerically, right, for the economy reasons and management. And then a second negative that I explain, because it's real, you know, boards and senior management have to be comfortable with probably writing the largest check they've ever written or making the largest spend of their capital that they've ever done. I mean, this isn't just buying technology or deciding to build a branch.
Right.
I mean, this could be four, five, six, seven times that. Wow. So I get in respect if that perhaps, you know, isn't what they want to do. You know, it's not something for that credit union.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, on the flip side, on the positives, I'll tell you that when you look at this investment, so if you can choose to spend your money to build a new branch and fill it up with members or to buy an existing operation, I'll tell you when you look at the numbers and the payback on this model, buying an operation, it is remarkably stronger, such that even though you're going to write a really big check, your investment typically comes back to you within a year to 3 years.
Wow.
It's extremely powerful.
That's fast.
The nature of the accounting science and then just the inherent facts when you buy a bank and their expense model versus ours are so powerful that from day one, the moment you close, so it's usually on a Friday, whether you open on Saturday or Monday, I'm saying that I 100% guarantee, which is rare for people in my profession, that it will be revenue positive. It throws off revenue from day one.
Oh, I could imagine, yeah.
Unlike if you make an investment in, you know, in a branch and you have to fill it up with members, that's not revenue positive for, you know, 5 years.
Maybe. Yeah.
So the positive is the extent to which this is a good numerical / accounting investment. And also, it's really a powerful tool to pick up geography. You know, if you identify and a community you want to serve, this is the fastest and cheapest way to get there.
Yeah,
it can be very strong. And most of my clients, I'll tell you, I'll be honest, Mike, I encourage them to think geography first. You know, there's so many details when you're going to do a transaction like this that I strongly encourage the first analysis, the first bit spent on the geography. You know, where are these branches? Because we can't move them. I mean, they're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we want to be in that town? Do we want to serve that community? What do those metrics look like for us? Once we get past that, we absolutely get into a great amount of detail. But that's often the starting point to get us down the road.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. Exactly what I'm looking for. Hey, to wrap up here, because I know you got a lot of stuff on your plate. You got some snow on the ground. So see this trend increasing in 2018? I mean, just having said what you said at the very top of the interview. So,
you know, Mike, I do. And it's interesting because it has already increased, right? The last half of this year has been the busiest I have seen it in the last 9 or 10 years that I've been doing this. But every moment I see that, I think, boy, the pace can't continue. It actually keeps increasing, such that I do expect an uptick in activity to continue towards, you know, obviously as we round out December,
right,
and then into 2018. The factors are there. Things in the market are cyclical. We all experience that. But this cycle, this moment in time, is extremely ripe for these transactions. I'll give you a corny analogy that I think is extremely appropriate,
sure,
if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, that moment when you're kind of in a rush to get somewhere and you're at a stoplight and there's one car in front of you.
Yeah.
And the light turns green and they don't move.
Yeah.
Likely you politely say to yourself, hey, it's not getting any greener, you know, which is true. The light's green. It's not going to get any greener.
Exactly. Time to go.
Yeah. That's what this moment is. I'm suggesting that if this is your idea or something you're interested in, it's not any greener. This is that moment.
Okay.
Because all that can happen is for pricing to go up, right? If you know a little economics, you know the cycles, you're going to understand that this kind of demand level, this kind of supply level is going to change and shift, and prices will keep walking up.
Mm-hmm.
So this moment in time is the greenest it's going to get. It will always be relevant. We're going to do these transactions every year, but we'll certainly see a lull at some point. We're at the high water mark now, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, great message to end on. Yeah. And that certainly sounds like Southern California real estate. It's just right. going.
Right. You know that? I mean,
you're buying little tiny garages for $5 million. But anyway, that's another show. But man, this is I mean, I've always been interested in this. So thank you for the education, Michael. And this sounds like a white paper in the making as well. So
maybe. Got to find the time.
Here. Really good stuff. All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's check back again, you know, maybe halfway through the year and see how the trend is probably increasing still. So it'd be good to find out.
We'd love to do it, Mike. I appreciate see you broadcast and happy to chat with you anytime.
All right. Very Thanks. Well, sir. Thank you very much for your time today and keep up the good work. All right.
Thank you.